And that is the biggest failure we can make as an entrepreneur. We've got to know what we're good at. Very important.
But more importantly, know what you're not good at. And hire and create a team of people that are awesome at the things that you suck at. Because when you create...
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card, you call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone if you only had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Ooh. Summarize with AI in a click.
Click, 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 click.
Writer's block? Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
But how did you overcome all these obstacles in the last few years? And how long did that stress or pain last for?
Well, you know, you look at 2020 and obviously the whole world was suffering, you know, and you turn on the TV, you couldn't escape it. And you're stuck in your house just right dealing with all this. But in the midst of all that, my father, who is my rock, in my book, you'll just see he and I have this unbelievable bond, had suffered two major heart attacks. I had to go pick him up in Wisconsin on New Year's Eve of 2019 going into 2020. Mm. So New Year's Eve welcoming in this new, you know, year. I was on a plane flying from Colorado to Kenosha, Wisconsin, because he wasn't getting the medical care he needed, and brought him to Austin where I lived.
Wow.
Ambulances at the, you know, on the airport waiting to take him to the hospital. And where he spent until almost March 12th from, you know, December 31st. Wow. So ringing in that year was already starting out stressful. Going through a divorce, you know, I had some my own personal health issues happen. I ended up being in the same hospital that my dad was in.
No way.
During that time period. It was one of those years where, but on the outside, everyone thought Kendra Scott was fine.
Mm.
The Instagrams are great. She's smiling. Things
right.
are good. And I just felt so, you know, like this isn't real. And I'm suffering.
Mm.
And why am I so afraid to say I'm suffering? So I started writing a journal and just keeping track of what was going on personally, emotionally, and wanting to share that the struggle is what makes us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And now coming out on the other side of that really scary year for my business, for my family, myself personally, is actually I had to go through that to get to this next most beautiful place I'm at in my life. But when we're in the middle of it, sometimes it can feel hopeless and that you're alone and that you're the only one that is feeling
right.
like this.
Right.
And so sharing it, and I think there's so much power in being vulnerable. And I realized that my journal notes I needed to make into a book. Simply because I wanted anyone out there who might be struggling in their own place in life to know this is part of their journey and
right.
to own it and to know this is their unique, amazing life. And they're going through this for a reason and something great is going to wait for them.
Yeah.
It's waiting around the corner. Take a breath. This is only a moment in time and it too shall pass.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
You know, when I think people see you and they see everything you've accomplished in the last 20 years of your brand. It's been 20 years with your brand, right?
Not an overnight success. I always love to be like, oh, this is an overnight success. I'm like, well, 20 years.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But when they see the success of in 20 years, they see you on Shark Tank, they see you with the book, they see you as this inspiring leader in the business world as well.
Yeah.
What is the thing that most people don't see? What is the biggest insecurity, shame, or fear that you never share that people, if they knew you were working on overcoming, would see you differently?
You know, I think one of the things that's so important is that no one is superwoman. And yet we try so hard in our life to make people think that we're Superman or Superwoman, that we are these just, we've got it all together, you know? And I think it's, you know, as a mom, I'm always struggling. People will be like, oh, how do you balance it all, Kendra? That is a myth. No, if anyone tells you they've got it figured out, they are lying, okay? That is a total myth. I work every day to be like, okay, how do I make sure that I'm there for my kids when they need me? Or if I forgot, is it a bake sale? Oh my gosh, you know, I'm racing to the store, picking up cookies and trying to package them in a Tupperware so I don't feel like my kid doesn't think I actually baked the cookie, you know? We do things right because we are doing the best that we can every day. And I think for us to say to one another and have these open conversations of, I've got this, thank you for helping me, or reaching out and asking for help. I now have a group of moms at school where we are all working together. Mm. It's like, I can't do this today. Can you help? Yeah, I can do that. And instead of being critical of one another, oh, she didn't bake her own cookies. It's like, we support one another.
Sure, sure.
And that is what I think is, I think, you know, for me is I've stopped trying to be perfect because no one's perfect. And I've started to laugh at myself more and be vulnerable and to just be like, you know, I don't have it all together today, and be okay with that,
right?
You know, and I think that has taken time, because in the early days of my business, I felt like I was always being judged as this girl from Texas who, you know, in Austin, where it was very tech savvy, you know, environment, I'm starting a fashion brand where, you know, I was laughed out of boardrooms asking for, you know, investment funding. And
unless it's cowboy boots and hats and it's like, what are you doing?
Well, I mean, and also it was just a different world.
Sure,
and they wanted
me
to be a tech company, and I'm not a tech company. I was a jewelry designer. And, you know, I think then I felt like, well, I can't let anybody think that I'm not super smart and
really?
I don't have this. And I was afraid if somebody would ask me where I graduated from college because I was a dropout.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid for people to learn where my education from come because it came from my first failed business. So that's not always a conversation starter you want to start with. And so I was trying to build up my own, like, I want them to think I'm this person, because if they know who I really am, then I'm really out of luck.
Who were you really?
I was scared. I was scared that they would see that I wasn't all the things I thought I should be to be in that room and get their attention or get the check for my business. And that insecurity of trying to be someone I wasn't was the worst thing I could have done.
Really?
Being my authentic self, being vulnerable and saying, I'm a single mom. I didn't finish college, but I'm a hard worker. And I'm the first one there in the morning, and I am not going. I mean, if you give me money for my company, I am going to make sure you get a return. I will not let you down.
Wow.
But I was too scared to say that.
How long did it take you until you said you're to start stepping into being 100% authentic as opposed to controlling an identity or an image that you wanted others to see?
You know, I think it took a while.
Really?
I'd love to say that it didn't, but I think it didn't around the people around me. Right?
Right?
I had a very small team of amazing women that I like to call the Super Seven. And we were very vulnerable with each other. A lot of us were new moms. We had young children. We'd bring them to the office. We had pack and plays at our office. We'd be passing around babies in between calls with buyers. And we were this village of support where we could just be ourselves.
Mm.
We could come in and talk about our day being difficult or,
right,
you know,
right.
And it was amazing. But I think, you know, on the outside, I felt like I had to be, because I remember going to market in New York City, for example, and setting up my little trade show booth and, you know, and these buyers coming in and be like, oh, where are you from? And I'm like, Austin, Texas. This is now, you have to remember, probably 18 years ago when we were, you know, doing our first markets.
This isn't the hub of design and fashion.
No, not what now people know of Austin. And they're like, oh, well, you can't make it as a designer
really?
If you're not on the coasts.
Wow.
You need to be in New York or LA.
Or San Francisco.
In San Francisco. Maybe, But in my heart of hearts, I knew that Austin was this special place, and it was part of the DNA of our brand. So even though I had insecurities about some things, I had total dedication to others. Like, we are an Austin, Texas brand. We have our own voice. And when you walked through market, all these buyers would be attracted to our booth because we didn't look like everybody else. We weren't trying to do what everybody else was doing. We had our own unique personality. And that own unique personality was part of me. And so as I started to see people loving us for who we were, I started to have more confidence to just say,
be yourself,
like, this is, yeah, just be myself.
Interesting. When would you say that was, though? 10 years in, 5 years in, 20 years in?
I think it was an evolution.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't think one day
little
you wake
little.
Up and you're like, today I'm just going to be me, you know?
Right.
It was you'd get a win. Uh-huh. You get a little win and you go, okay, that gave me confidence, or someone else believed in me. You know, I remember my first office, what a big deal it was, like renting an office space and not working out of the extra bedroom of my house anymore.
It's a big deal.
And my landlord was this great guy. He had a sub company, still has a Subway, like it's not Subway, but it's a sub company.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from Wisconsin, where I'm from. And I would sometimes give him my rent check. His name's Mike. And I'd say, Mike, you know, could you just hold it for a few days, right? I've got some other, you know, payments coming in from different, you know, companies. And he'd be like, absolutely, Kendra. You just let me know when I should take it to the bank. His confidence in me gave me confidence. And it's those little interactions that people don't realize how powerful they are.
Right.
Because of his faith and belief in me, it gave me belief in myself.
Wow.
And I wanted to show him that I was good on my word. Because my word is everything.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I do it.
Right.
And I think over time, those interactions, buyers, Nordstrom ordering from you, right? It was like...
more and more confidence.
Confidence. Yeah. And I started to not be afraid. And I remember the first time I had to say, I actually went to an entrepreneurial master's course through Entrepreneurs EO, which is a fantastic organization. Any young entrepreneur out there, I say, join an organization like EO because you start to meet other people who have their same insecurities and worries that you have, and you're in this safe environment where you can talk about those things and you realize, I'm not alone in this anymore.
Right.
And once you're opening up to someone else, they open up to you. And that's why I say there is such power in vulnerability, where you think it's the opposite. But when you can actually say to somebody, this is something that I've always bothered me, then they feel like they can share that about themselves. And all of a sudden, you're having a real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You're not having a conversation anymore of, I did this, and I'm all, my business is having, you know, and then they're just puffing back up, and it's this whole, and there's nothing real happening. Where you go, God, the first time I walked in this room with you all, I was so intimidated. I felt like I didn't belong here.
Mm.
You know, I've got Harvard grads in the room, and I'm a college dropout, and then all of a sudden, they're this welcoming force, right, of, are you kidding me, Kendra? When you walked in the room and you had, you know, and it was this, it changes perspective. And I think if we could all embrace that, it's a dynamic, amazing thing to be part of.
If you could go back 20 years ago when you started and been the 100% authentic you, public facing, where do you think you'd be today? Or do you think it worked out perfectly, the lessons you needed to learn from that journey?
I think everyone, our story is our story for a reason. And I had to go through those aches and pains and knots in my stomach and feeling uncomfortable to become comfortable within myself. It wasn't like I could just wake up one day and have that. It's the failures that build the next success in your life. And I always say these things we go through, the heartache, divorce, breakups, relationships, business failures, they're the bridge to get us to the next place we're going in our life. No one can experience that for you but you. And even as a parent, you want to take those heartaches away and those steps or falls away from your kids. But they've got to scratch their knees. They've got to touch a hot surface to know not to do it again. You can only protect them from so much. But we need those lessons to build the person we're becoming. And we're always evolving. I'm not there yet.
You're not finished yet?
No! I've got so much more I want to do, and I know so much I'm learning about myself still every day, which is a really cool to be.
That's cool. What would you say was the biggest pain, personally and professionally, you've gone through in the last 20 years?
We only have an hour. No, you know, look.
The biggest challenge or pain or what seemed like, oh, this is a big letdown or breakdown or failure potentially in your personal life and in your business. But also, what's the lesson you learned from each one of those experiences?
Yeah. You know, my first business was a hat company. Mm-hmm. I started it because my stepfather had brain cancer, and I was meeting a lot of men and women undergoing chemotherapy who had lost their hair. And I had loved fashion since I was a little girl. And so I started sewing in cotton linings into hats and created a hat business at age 19, dropped out of college. And I think seeing this person that I love struggling, wanting to save his life, really. And at 19, you're kind of an idealist. This was my way. I could do something, right? I felt so helpless in that moment. And after 5 years of trying to run this little hat company and it not working, wanting hats to be the next big thing again, like it was 1940, I had these big grand plans for this business. And it just failing day in and day out.
Really?
And after 5 years, knowing I had to close it. And now I'd already just lost my stepfather to cancer.
Mm.
So the person I had done this for, I had lost. The business I had started is failing. The thing he was so proud of me to do. I'm now a dropout. So all of my friends who have graduated from college now or are getting jobs. So I have no degree.
You're 24 or something,
yeah, no degree. I have a failed business. I lost my stepfather. And I remember just thinking, I'm a complete loser.
Mm.
I'm a loser. I really did. And now what am I going to do? Well, I've got to go get a job. I'm going to get an entry-level job somewhere because I don't have a college degree. And I was able to get a job at a travel company that did a travel magazine in their marketing department. And I still had customers calling me from the hat store. And they weren't calling for hats. I was making jewelry in that little store. And I'd put it on the counter, and the day that it would go out, it would sell.
No way.
But I was so focused on the hats
the
working.
The mission of the hat, yeah.
Yeah, that I couldn't see what was working.
Interesting.
And so
this was like a little side project.
Yeah, it was just like, and I enjoyed making jewelry, and I loved making jewelry, and I loved some of my precious stones, and I wanted to make jewelry that people could afford, that was beautiful quality. And so, but it was just a side thing. I made hat pins, too, and other things just by hand. Customers would call and say, Kendra, I want a pair of earrings to match the necklace I bought in your store. Or my sister loves that necklace I bought. I want to get her one for her birthday. Could you make one?
Wow.
So I'm going home from my day job now that I had to get after my business failed. And I'm making jewelry for my old customers. And so it really was this like all of those things happened. But when you're in that moment, when you're closing the store for the last time and you're sitting on the step and it literally starts to rain and you look at your life and you think.
Like this is a movie. Yeah,
yeah, it's a movie. No, it starts to rain. It was like a joke. Like I started laughing at the sky like, wow. And I had one of those signs, Lewis, that on the door it says, sorry, we're closed. And on the other side it says, yes, we're open.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously our marketing budget wasn't big. So I bought it at like Home Depot Lowe's or something. And I remember trying, you know, thinking about closing it. And when I was sitting on the step crying in the rain and I'd moved everything out, I looked and I saw the sign still said, yes, we're open. And I was pissed because I was like, I have to go back in now and go through this whole emotional deal. But then I looked at it and I was like, this is a sign.
Mm.
This is an actual sign. Mm. And it was, yes, we're open. And I talk about it a lot because it was being open to the next thing that's going to happen.
The next possibility.
The next possibility. And sometimes it is actual signs that you have to kind of pay attention to.
100%.
But you have to be open to it. And so even me taking this job, because I had to, I was open to my customers calling me, going, well, maybe there's something to this jewelry. Maybe there's something there that I wasn't seeing. And that led into Kendra Scott
that's
jewelry.
That's crazy. When did you say, from that moment of closing that business, doing this side thing of the jewelry, when did you say, okay, I'm going all in on jewelry and leaving this job and actually going all in on this?
Yeah, so I was traveling. It was a travel magazine and travel company. So I was traveling to all these remote places doing marketing, selling ad space, negotiating contracts, like all these things. And I met my future, you know, husband during this time, and I would be gone sometimes 4 to 6 weeks at a time.
Mm.
So we got married, and you know, it was not a job that you really can have as a married person. And
right, because you're traveling.
No. And so I was like, okay, this isn't going to be good for our marriage for me to do this. So then I started doing PR and marketing for small businesses on the side while still making jewelry. And I just, that entrepreneurial spirit in me was huge.
So you're working the job or you left the job to do PR?
I left the job and I started doing PR myself. Gotcha. It was called Glitter.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It was J-Lo was big back then.
Yeah.
You know, she still is, but it was sequins glitter. It was all about the bling back back in the day. Early 2000s,
sure,
I guess.
Sure.
And so I did glitter PR and advertising, and I was still doing my jewelry just for customers. And we got pregnant, and I remember, you know, thinking, okay, what am I going to do next? And I made a little collection of jewelry while I was on, you know, basically pregnant with Kate. I went to jewelry making classes at a local bead shop to learn how to do even, you know, make things a little bit more intricate or different. And when he was 3 months old, I decided, you know, let's see if we can sell this. So I didn't have any proper
this little collection. Yeah, yeah.
And we had a wooden tea box, like that you take out each little section of tea. And I put each, you know, color mixed collection in each of the little boxes in the tea box. And I put Kate and a baby Bjorn. And we started to go to local boutiques in Austin, Texas.
Wow.
And I showed my collection. And didn't want to really tell anyone I was starting a business. I thought
if I didn't want to fail.
They already know that I'm a failure, okay?
Yeah, so, I'm not announcing this to the world so that I fail again.
No. Yeah. So yeah, I took Cade and thought, if I can create a business that allows me to be a present mom.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all, or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, but what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
For this little unbelievable human.
And make some money on the weekends.
And bring money and help our family and, you know, that would be success.
Sure.
I didn't write the plan like I did for the hat box of opening stores all over the country and this being a huge thing. I started with it, let's just...
Small. Yeah.
And I'd sell into a store and I'd make my little orders. And
were you doing
they would
consignment
sell out.
Or were you doing... You were doing
no,
like...
so I would write orders, you know, down and I'd show my collection. This is the first day is kind of an amazing day because I went to 5 boutiques, 4 out of the 5 ended up placing orders.
In Austin
that day.
So they're buying orders like wholesale and then they're selling for double the price.
Exactly. So I would go in and they'd write orders based on my sample set. Well, the last store I went into, they were doing a fashion show like in 2 days. And she's like, can I buy your samples for the show? And
you'd already sold them, didn't you?
Well, no, I had the samples.
Okay.
I had written orders.
For
I was going to go
ones.
Produce those
More
samples.
Of those.
More
yeah.
of those. Yes. And so I was kind of like, this is great because I didn't know how I was going to get more money to buy
The materials
right, I needed. Right. So I sold my sample set for $1,200. It took me $500 in, you know,
to make.
And I remember coming home with that check and like show even Kate, my 3-month-old, I'm like, baby, we have a business.
Wow.
Like, this is real. And I know it seems so silly, but that $1,200 led to the next ability to. So I was just kind of putting money in. And I mean, this is as bootstrapped.
Mm-hmm.
My mom brought over a card table. I had a bead board in our little spare room. It was maybe a 10 by 11 bedroom. And was fulfilling my orders, and I had them up on a board. And I remember just thinking, like, I had 4 orders at one time. I'm like, this is, like, things are happening.
Wow.
And it just started to grow. I mean, they would sell out. I would go to the stores. I'd help them merchandise. If something wasn't selling, I'd go back in and replace it for them. Nobody had done that when I had my hat store. So I thought, I want to be a designer that is supportive of these retailers.
Right.
I'll go in and do trunk shows. I'll meet their customers. I mean, I was like, I am going to do everything I wished would have been done for me when I owned my hat store. And it worked. And our stores were selling like crazy. And the customers were happy. And it just grew from there.
Wow.
One store grew into 10 stores. 10 stores grew into 100 stores. 100 stores grew into 1,000.
This is where you had placement, not your own stores, right?
Yes.
So you had placement and distribution.
And that's how I did it for 10 years of my business.
And then you decided what?
Well, 8 years. 8 years.
8 years. And then you said, I want to have my own store.
No, I didn't say that at all. This wonderful thing happened called the recession. I don't know if you've heard about it. Yeah, 2008.
So this was from 2000 to 2008.
2002 to 2008. Yeah,
so
2009.
6 years more full time, but 2 years kind of on the side, it sounds like, right?
Well, so 2008, the world changed. And all of my eggs were in one basket. The power of my future was with the buyers at the department stores, with the store owners. I had no direct connection to my consumer, my customer.
You didn't have an audience.
I didn't have an audience.
You had an audience through retailers.
Exactly. And so when the recession hit, all that power was going away because buyers I had built relationships with were getting laid off.
So they weren't buying anymore.
A lot of them were going direct and creating their own private label. Store owners that I loved were shuttering.
Wow.
Every day I'd find out another store was closing.
How many stores were you in at that time before 2008? 1,000?
We were probably in about 600 stores across the country. Yeah.
And then after 2009, 10, how many stores were you in?
Probably 400.
No. Oh, 400. I was going to say
yeah. 4. No, 400. Yeah.
I was like, geez.
But it's 200 stores is a lot, right? So I'm going through this and I'm thinking, I mean, I remember us shipping one huge order to a company that had been in business 100 years, Lewis, filed for bankruptcy.
Two days after
I shipped an order. Yes.
So what happened?
Never got the money again. No.
And then you didn't get the product back?
No.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I'm saying. So it was a scary time. And here I have a line of credit. I have no investment capital. Nobody would invest in me. I've gone and pitched my idea.
Really?
Doors closed a million times.
Had you already raised money or were you just getting credit?
No, I just had a line of credit. I had signed everything I owned up for collateral. I used credit card debt. It was all on debt, my entire business to this point.
You never raised any money, right?
Nobody would invest. Right. I wanted to.
Early on, no one would?
No, Lewis, I remember going to this one thing.
You would have 100 stores, 500 stores?
No, I promise you. And I'm a good salesperson. Can't you see that?
Right.
No. I would walk in and they'd be like, no, retail.
Yeah, you don't have a college degree, I don't trust you.
Right, exactly. No, but I'd go in and sometimes it'd be like, I remember going to this one networking group and they were like, well, Kendra, you just need to get an angel. I was like, I need an angel.
Yeah,
where do these angels hang out? I'd love to meet an angel, angel investor. It wasn't even the access that you had today. If you think about social media, there weren't groups that you could see, you know.
It wasn't a trending thing either.
No,
it was like hard to get in, old
so
boys club
hard,
type of
so
thing.
Hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. I mean, all of this was happening and I realized I had to change my business model. Otherwise, we were going to fail.
So,
I was going to have another failure under my belt. And so I remember walking into my office and saying to my team, if you guys are with me, it's kind of like the Alamo where you draw the line in the sand. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Texan, so we all know that story well. But it's like if you cross the line, if you're with me, if you're not, I totally understand. And it was like, we're going to change our business model.
Wow.
We're going to still have our wholesale customers. We love them. but we are going to focus on direct to consumer. We are going to build a website that is actually not just information, but e-commerce.
Not just publicity, but it's actually how to buy.
It's actually an e-commerce website. We're going to create, which we had Color Bar, which was this customization tool where you could pick the stones you wanted and put it in any setting. We're going to create that tool online, and we are going to open a retail store. When stores all over Austin were shuttering, I sign a lease for a store with an office above it. So you'd walk through our retail store to get to our offices. I was like, this is going to be our laboratory. This is how we're going to learn about our customer. We're all going to work in that store. We're going to ask her what she loves, what she hates, what she wants more of. She's the boss. We have got to know what she needs and wants so that we can build the best company we can build. Not knowing that what we were actually doing was going to have this huge retail company. Because I said, if we're going to do it, I hate jewelry stores. I hate the way they are. I hate everything's under glass. I hate how judgy everyone is when you walk in.
I'm snobby. Yeah, yeah.
I said, I want to take all that away. We're going to have jewelry freely displayed on the tables where our customers can touch and feel them and try them on. We're going to create a real color bar where they can sit at the bar and drink champagne and eat a cupcake and watch their jewelry be made in front of them.
Wow.
We're going to be totally disruptive in a space that I did not personally like as a consumer. And I remember people saying, Kendra, that's not going to work. You know how much you're going to lose? How many shoplifters are going to just take that jewelry? And I looked at them and I said, I believe that 98% of people are good. So I'm not going to build a business for the 2% of people that are bad.
Right.
And it worked.
Wow.
We had lines around the block to come into this little store. No, it was like, one Red Oak or whatever in Las Vegas. Like, we had to get stanchions. It would be like five in, five out. It was unbelievable. It was this energy and community in the store. We were hosting community events with Kendra Gives Back events for local charities and color bar parties for birthdays. And it was unbelievable.
Wow.
And we realized that this is the missing link. But it all came from a shake the snow globe moment of the recession for us to think differently. Because we were doing okay. We weren't, making any big headlines, but we were paying the rent and I was being able to put my kids through school and things were good, right? But that recession was the greatest gift Kendra Scott ever got. And you would think, that sounds crazy, but it's a ribbon wrapped in yellow was our future was because it forced me to think differently.
What is this, what looks like recession, forcing you to think differently about the next evolution?
Well, we don't know for sure if we're in a recession yet, Lewis.
Well,
look.
It looks like.
Let's just
call it this economic challenge.
I get excited now, which seems really weird.
What's your blind spot that you haven't yet looked at within your business that if you really start to peel back or lean into in a different way could explode it to the next level?
When you think about when I started my company, it was... Cade was born 2 months after 9/11.
Wow.
I started at one of the most unstable times in our history. I started a business. Crazy. Here we are. 2008. One of the biggest economic crises that we faced in our lifetime happens. My business becomes lightning in a bottle growth afterwards because of that shakeup. The pandemic, scary, closing stores. It made me think about how we relate to our customer differently. Where is she and how do I meet her there? Does she need curbside? Does we need to make mobile access better? Does she need virtual styling? Things that we weren't doing, we're doing now as every day as part of our business because the pandemic had us thinking about where our customer was. So when you think about these things that are happening, fear is good. Fear is normal. But usually on the other side of fear, something great.
Yeah, of course.
And if you can get through that scary phase, that uncomfortable phase and go, how am I going to make my business better today? How am I going to make my customer happier today? How am I going to understand where they are so that I can be there for them in this moment of whatever it is we're going through? Those are the businesses that are not only going to make it through this period, but they're going to absolutely thrive.
So how many stores, you started with one in Austin, how many stores did it get to before 2020?
We were at just about 100.
100 stores around the country?
Around the country.
Just US?
All in the United States.
That's a lot of stores.
Yeah.
100 of your own stores, not like other
No. Kendra Scott stores.
100 stores.
Now we are over 120.
120. Yeah. Did you have to close any, you said, though?
We closed them temporarily during the pandemic, but we were really creative. 120.
It's incredible.
March 16th, I closed those stores.
It's my birthday.
Is it?
Yeah. That was like the week of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was like, happy birthday to me.
Well, I was up at midnight for your birthday because I didn't sleep the night before, you know? I mean, it was...
You're thinking, well, I got all these stores. If people can't come in, what am I going to do?
Well, and I had all these employees that I love. They're my family.
Yeah.
You know, at Kendra Scott, family is one of our core values. Mm-hmm. And thinking about how are we going to keep our family in a good place? Mm-hmm. How are we going to be there for our customer family? You know, we have the sister rule at Kendra Scott. We treat her like our sister. So it was, I'm like, girls, get on the phone, start calling our customers.
Wow.
We had elderly customers that instead of us asking them what they wanted to buy in jewelry, we were delivering food to their doorsteps.
Mm-hmm.
We really started to reach out and just say, we've built a connection with our customer.
Right.
And I think for anybody that sells anything, it's doing anything with a retail service mind, make a connection first, and the transaction will follow.
Mm.
But when you're so focused on transaction, you lose the connection and you don't have that, especially when bad things happen.
Right.
Our connection with our customer was so strong over the last 20 years. We were there in, you know, hospitals, 31 hospitals with our Kendra Cares program for pediatric cancer. We were there in oncology centers the month of October for our Buy One, Give One program, giving a woman battling breast cancer a gift and letting her try to have a little piece of joy. We show up when we aren't expecting to, all the time, every single day. So when something bad happened to the world, our customers showed up for us.
Wow.
And they had this loyalty to our brand that wasn't fake. It was authentic and real. And, you know, I say this to companies all the time. Being an authentic brand, you have to be authentic.
Right.
It's not something that you can just create.
Sure.
It has to come from doing it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Day in and day out and leading by example.
Right. Man, this is inspiring. I didn't know this whole story. It's really inspiring. I'm curious. There's a lot of entrepreneurs that watch and listen that have small businesses.
Yeah.
You started as a small business. What's the difference between a few $100,000 a year or $1 million business and a $1 billion business? What does it take emotionally, mentally, and psychologically to really excel to get there? And then what are a few of the things that take in terms of strategy and execution to get there?
Well, no small business is small. Because first of all, to have the courage to start a business is real big.
Right.
And really amazing. So I always say that, you know, the smallest ideas can turn into things that you can't even imagine. But I think the biggest thing for me as an entrepreneur is knowing my weaknesses. And I think you think, whoa, wait, why would you want to know that? We try as entrepreneurs to be like, we can do it all. We're like magical unicorns, right? And we just have all, and that is the biggest failure we can make as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. We've got to know what we're good at. Very important, because if you can focus on the things you're great at, awesome. But more importantly, know what you're not good at and hire and create a team of people that are awesome at the things that you suck at. Because when you create this magical team, that is how you go from $200,000 a year to a $1 billion brand, is identifying the places, the gaps where you need to bring in others that have that expertise, that knowledge, that maybe have gone down that road before and can help avoid some of those pitfalls. And that is how you get there. No single human founder on the planet has done it themselves.
Right.
And if they have, they're lying to you.
Right.
They're arrogant and they're lying because it's not true.
So I'm hearing you say the awareness to know what your weaknesses are, and then the execution and strategy to find the right people, the team, and expand the team.
And then having trust and faith in that team and being collaborative. Knowing that you may not always have the greatest idea in the room.
Right.
You know, you can be a leader and a visionary, but you also have to be able to absorb these awesome people around you. And more importantly, listen to your customers. Listen to them every single day. I read every comment on my Instagram to my marketing teams. Like, they're like, Kendra, please don't read all these comments. I want to know. I'm like, has somebody gotten back to her? I literally said that on the way here. There was somebody who had a question about something. I go, I didn't see a reply on Instagram. I mean, I'm doing a lot of things, but every day I want to hear from our customer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from entrepreneurs, you've got to get out of your office, whether it's in a store, whether it's on your customer service calls, listening in, taking those calls yourself, being engaged with the person that matters the most, and that is the person that is signing your check.
Right.
It is not you. signing your checks.
Right.
Even though your name might be on the building, it is not you. It is your customer signing your checks.
She's the boss.
She's the boss. He's the boss. Now we've got a men's line. He and she are the boss.
So,
yeah.
So I'm wearing,
Scott Brothers.
It's funny because Matt was just saying that I never wore jewelry until a couple months ago. My girlfriend got me a chain and some rings, and then you put on a bunch of cool stuff. Why did you start a men's line? For 18 years, it was a women's line, line?
Yeah, only. And we had so many men, first of all, like Kendra, when are you going to? And I never quite got it. My boys became men.
They never wore jewelry as a 12-year-old.
So Cade, the three-month-old, is now 20, okay?
Right.
So every year my business has become a year older. So has my oldest son.
Crazy.
And when we were in the pandemic together, I would be having all my design meetings around my dining table because we weren't really in the office. So, a few of my designers, 6 feet apart, masks on, we would be designing collections. And my boys were home with me. And they'd be walking in the dining room. They're like, Mom, that is so cool. You need to make that for me. Or can you make that in a bigger size? And I started talking to them, and I was watching kind of what they were wearing. Mm. They were kind of layering cool bracelets and really kind of seeing their style come out. And I said, wait, maybe we should do a little line together, And it kind of just became kind of a fun project for us. We launched Scott Brothers, and it was, I think we exceeded by 70% or something crazy of our expectations for launch. But it was a line that came from a genuine place, and the boys love being engaged and involved in it, and it's been something fun for us to do. But we had 36% customer base that were male prior to Scott Brothers.
Because they were buying for their girlfriend, wives.
So now they can come in and buy for their girlfriend and wives and leave with something for themselves.
The women are probably the main buyers. They're going to buy for their guys.
Yes.
If they're going to be there, they might as well get a gift from them too.
So it's been really fun and it's growing. I mean, it keeps expanding.
You're like the Lululemon of jewelry now. Right? It's like only women's clothes, and now they had a small men's section, and now it's okay, it's bigger and bigger. Now it's more men are in there shopping. That's pretty cool. So do you have I got to go to one of your stores and check it out.
Please. We have one here.
It must be a cool experience.
Century City. You can go here in LA.
It's here in Century City?
Yeah.
At the mall?
At the mall.
Come on.
Yes. Right when you come up the escalator, where you go to valet, which I'm sure is that what you do because you're fancy, Louis.
But what's it next to? I'm trying to see because I'm going over there all the time.
We're near Nordstrom area.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
I want to go in and look at the men's section.
Please.
Make sure it's good.
Yeah.
What was the biggest, you talked about the business challenge. What was the biggest personal challenge you've had to overcome and face? And the lesson you learned from that personal challenge in the last 20 years?
I mean, I think, divorce is really hard, right? And nobody walks down the aisle saying, I do forever and ever, and expecting it to not work out that way.
Yeah.
And, it's such a devastating thing, no matter what. But then
must
when you bring
draining.
Little kids.
Oh, my gosh.
So my boys were 1 and 3. And I had a very young business that was just, getting started. And it was, I think for me, I felt like the biggest personal failure because I can do things like closing the business and it's on me, right? That's me. But when you have two little lives that you're responsible for, it's much bigger than that. And so you take those failures differently.
Interesting.
Right? Because it's affecting these little humans that you love. And so that was for me really, really hard. But at the same time, I look at it now and I think, and I have a chapter in my book called The Average Family. There is no average family anymore. People go through marriages and divorces. I remarried. I had a little, a younger son. So now I have 3 sons. My boy's got a little brother that they adore. He has these older brothers that he loves. My ex-husband and I are great friends. We get along wonderful. He's remarried, has 2 little girls. So they have sisters through him. Our family has evolved into this really amazing, thing for everybody. But when you're in it, it doesn't feel like that's going to be the outcome.
No.
But for me at the time, it was, and it still is hard, because it's not what you plan on happening.
Right.
But life throws you curveballs, Lewis. I mean, you just got to figure out how to catch them.
I thought it was just easy.
Yeah.
That was just simple. Everything happens in a perfect way. I've made every mistake in the book in relationships and suffered for many years and struggled and did a lot of therapy to just kind of help myself heal and unwind and realize why I was making certain decisions and things like that.
Yes. And that's part of that personal growth that we're talking about, And I think a lot of times we're judged, especially if you've gone through divorce.
Mm.
we can have monogamous relationships and break up, and for some reason that's right. okay
when you,
for people.
When you say I do and you commit.
Commit, and then that doesn't work out. People are like, ooh,
especially like the religious
divorcee.
Judgment. Yeah, yeah.
yeah you know, ooh. So it's becomes harder, but I love love, and I believe in love, and you know, I haven't given up on it.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
And yeah, it didn't always work out the way I'd planned, but that doesn't mean that I don't deserve love and that I can't be in a relationship that's a committed relationship.
Was there ever a time where you didn't love yourself?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Yes. I think I've been hard on myself throughout my life. And I think in 2020 was a year where I just felt like I lost that ability to overcome obstacles.
Really?
Like I had before, because there were so many. There was so many coming at me all at once that I would try to, and I was trying to be positive for everybody else because I didn't want my team at work or my kids to think mom was, you know, not okay. Mm-hmm. So I would be putting on this like mask of
physically.
Hi, and, yeah, and, hey, yeah, yeah. Great, I'm great. And then I'd go in my room at night and just sob and cry myself to sleep and feel like I didn't have it all together and that I was a fake. Like the world thought I did. And I, you know, and that's when I started journaling and writing this down to say, I knew I needed people to know that I wasn't okay because I had a feeling there are other people that weren't okay too, and that we're going to overcome this. And I knew in my heart I was still going to overcome it. I mean, I wasn't at a point where I was like, I'm giving up. But I was at a point where I was just like, yeah, this is, and I didn't feel like myself, and I had to change the way I was doing things.
In 2020.
But
you'd made a ton of money, your business is everywhere, you're this big success, you've got, you know, your kids, you're healthy, I mean, you're healthy-ish.
Yeah.
You know, you've got stability in life, but you didn't feel like you were yourself.
No. I felt like a shadow of myself at that point. And, you know, money does not make you happy, and that success is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important thing to remember.
What is success for you?
So I realized that success for me was just having more time, more quiet time, more time with the people that I loved. And in 2020, I think with my father being ill, going through another divorce in my life, that separation of another failure, COVID, the pandemic hitting, you know, the world and my business, there was just so many things out of my control that I felt out of control in a way. But I had to keep everybody thinking I was in control, which is the worst. And
it's a lot of work.
And being able to finally just say, okay, I'm struggling and I need a break. And writing down what I saw my next 3 years of my life look like. Because I had been going at a pace that was so intense.
Fast.
And trying to be superwoman for everybody, my kids, my business, my, you know, Kendra Scott family members, everybody, my own family. And finally just saying, I've got to focus on me a little bit and taking a different role within the organization as the company, stepping down as CEO and becoming just chairwoman, head of design, and I'm the customer advocate. So, you know, queen of customer experience.
So this happened in the last 2 years.
Last 2 years.
So and you stepped down into your
two I
years.
Did. Wow. And said, I know I can do more for the business and for myself and for everybody else if I just focus on the things that I know I need to focus on.
Interesting.
I created this school for women's entrepreneurship so I could help and inspire other young women. I wanted to spend more time with my kids, which we were getting to do during COVID. And I realized what a gift this was, spending more time with my father, who I almost lost, realizing I wasn't spending as much time as I wanted to before. Mm-hmm. And even having a choir life, like gardening and animals and being outside and hiking and taking care of myself, even physically, doing yoga every morning. Mm. I'd never done yoga. Started doing yoga in 2020. Changed my life. I mean, if I don't do yoga every day, I feel like I'm missing something now. But it was making priorities. And what happened is those contributions to my company have caused the company to even grow and succeed more. When I was killing myself, right? You think you're working so hard, but you're not working effectively and efficiently.
And so
having that reflection and that time to do that was what inspired the book because it really was something that was important for me to put out there, for others to realize that, you know, even when you don't feel it, there's this light inside of you still flickering away, and surrounding yourself with people that help you find that light when you don't necessarily see it. And then it is going to come out. It's going to shine brighter than ever before.
Yeah. I like you, Kendra.
I like you, Lewis.
I like this story. This is really inspiring. What was your biggest fear then? Was it failure or success?
Well, that's a good question. Because I felt it both at different times in my life. For a long time, it was failure because I failed, right? And I didn't want to, I wanted to take away the failure cloak that I felt like was like
the monkey on your back.
On my back, and wanted to prove that I could be successful.
Yeah.
That I wasn't going to let that shadow follow me anymore. Then once you have the success and people all of a sudden look at you different, they talk to you a little different, they take you seriously more, you know, they act differently around you. You're like, whoa. But then you kind of feel that some people are talking to you for different reasons, not because they genuinely care about you or love you.
Right.
Or maybe they want something or they're, and then.
You don't know why, the agenda.
Yeah, and that became scarier for me because I'm very like open and
giving
and generous. And you got to a point where I started to question some of the people, things in my life that were happening, and why they were happening. So then that kind of scared me a little bit. And that trust of just wanting to trust everyone.
I know, I had that for so long.
Became, I actually hated that feeling. Mm. But knowing that I'm not going to let it change me. That I had some things happen that were hurtful or things that happened. But if I allowed that person or that event to change my heart, to change who I am, then they won. So I'm not going to let them win. I'm still going to be the person I'm going to be. Am I cautious? Yeah. Am I a little more thoughtful
more
about
discerning.
Things I
yeah.
do? Discern? Of course I am. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to be the person I am. And that is a person that looks for the good in somebody first.
What would you say you're more afraid of now? Fear or failure or success moving forward after this kind of transformation in the last couple of years?
You know, I'm doing things that I haven't done before. So writing a book and starting a school. A college dropout has an institute at the University
That's
really of
cool.
Texas.
That's really cool.
I'm a professor. They call me Professor Scott on campus, which is crazy. So that's what I'm saying. Anything is possible, folks. You don't believe it. I'm a professor and a college dropout at a top university in the country. So anything is possible. But I want to do so well now for this legacy that I want to that all of these things have led me to this point has given me the opportunity to have a voice to help others succeed in their own life. And I want to see them succeed. And that would be, for me, that's what I'm fearful of, is that I want to make sure I can figure out how to do this in a way that they have great success. Because I don't want them to fail.
Right.
I want them to have success. So it's a cool place
that's
to be.
Beautiful. What's the part of your voice that is yet to be heard?
My singing voice you don't want to hear on this show, but no.
Is there anything you've wanted to say that you haven't really fully said yet? You feel like it's still inside of you? I know you've written a lot of these things, these stories in your book, but is there something you feel like you still want to get out there?
I think the biggest thing I want to say is don't ever judge a book by its cover. And I think it's so easy for us to dismiss someone's success as a fluke, to just be like, oh, they got lucky. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, and especially women, Lewis, we can be vicious. And I see women tearing other women down really? So much, especially if they see success. There's got to be a reason or, you know. And then if a woman fails, oh, they celebrate the failures.
Really?
Oh, yeah, this is happening.
Women celebrate other women failing.
Yeah, but we've got to change that dialogue. And
why,
I think
why do they do that?
Because we have our own impersonal insecurity. So if we see someone else doing something, it could be jealousy. It could come from a place of insecurity, you know. And we've got to stop that, right? Because if we can stop that and start celebrating each other's successes and put your hand down when somebody else has fallen and lift them out of that place, you will become more successful, more great. Your light is going to shine so bright, and that will attract so many great things in your life. That is what I want people to hear right. is let's not judge a book by the cover. Let's start to hold hands, lift each other up, support one another instead of tear each other down. Right. And this would be an amazing world we could live in.
Wow.
And men and women. Sure. I think men do it too, right? I'm just a woman and I feel it.
Right.
But in our company, we don't allow that.
Yeah.
You know, we hire people on heart before resume. And we celebrate each other. Somebody gets a promotion, you'll see 100 emails going, way to go, you so deserve this, Maggie, or whoever it is, rooting for one another.
That's cool.
And that environment is infectious. It's contagious in a good way. And I think that is a message I want to get out there, is like, find ourselves when you're at that dinner table and it's like, oh, so-and-so got a promotion. See the tone? Or, so-and-so got a promotion.
Right.
How awesome is that? You have the power to change that conversation in that moment.
Mm.
And we all have that ability.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the mindset you developed around making money. Because you were in a hat business before, and it wasn't thriving, right?
No. So, not at all.
So how did you learn? Because a lot of people kind of have this ceiling about how much they think they deserve to earn or make. And they kind of get stuck. Mm-hmm. It's from what I've seen. And it's hard for them to break through to the next level. So how did you, in your mind, psychologically, know that you were deserving to earn more and to be able to build a business that had the potential to earn more? And how did you not have a ceiling at right. the different levels, from $100,000 in sales to $1 million to $10 million to $100 million to $1 billion? How did you
right.
continue to break through that financial ceiling?
I think for me, I've had a different relationship with money.
Really?
Being a single mom, starting this business very bootstrapped, not having investors, it was survival for me. It was always like, I can pay my rent, help my kids go to this school. You know, it was very much survival mode for a long time. And, you know, and even hiring my first COO, which, you know, was like my, you know, partner in crime for many years, Lon, you know, I couldn't afford him, but I couldn't not afford him. So what did I do? I cut my payback because I was investing in the future of our business. It was always this bigger idea of building something that was bigger than just my paycheck. I wasn't thinking about it as much as that. I felt like this business was this almost, you know, I always say all the time that Kendra Scott, the company, is the DNA of all the people that are part of it. And we've created this, like, I think now he is a tween, maybe. You know, we've still got a lot of growth to go with that brand. But it was the DNA of all the people. And so each thought about it was, how are we going to continue to grow and do more? And success for us was also on our three core values, which was family, fashion, and philanthropy. We were always giving back, even from the very beginning. And the bigger we grew, the more we were doing and making an impact. So it's like we were able to have this fashion brand, but also seeing how we could affect people's lives in a positive way. And that was our fuel source, because it was like, yeah, we're paying, you have to pay your bills.
Sure.
But it was also seeing something else that we were building and growing that was really cool. I think the first time I had an investor, when I had those words said to me, I want to invest in you, Kendra, I was first like, wait, that's really weird. Did you say what? You know, I couldn't believe it. And it was an advisor. I had built up an advisory board because I didn't have a typical board.
Really?
And I wanted to get
other people's thoughts about my business. I wanted to be a sponge and learn from them. So I sought out people that I really respected in a very different fields, but that could help contribute to what I was trying to build.
Right.
And one of my advisors ended up being my first investor and saying, what you're building is phenomenal. Wow. Can I please invest?
That's cool.
And that in of itself was the first time I took money off the table.
What year was this?
2012.
Okay.
So 10 years in.
You took some money off.
Silence. Right. But it wasn't a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, but for me, I never had money just in a bank account.
Sure.
I had a float, a personal float and a business float.
You'd have money so you could buy inventory.
Yes,
and, where I could,
and it was always this like chess game I was playing. That was the first time I actually felt like I could breathe a little easier.
Interesting.
And then 3 years later, we brought in a private equity firm for 20% of the business.
Wow. So you got a little more cash.
And I got a little more. And then that was for me. I would have been fine. I was fine. I was happy. And what it did for me is I didn't have to worry about money anymore.
Right.
I didn't have to worry about my float. I didn't have to worry about rent. I could pay for my kids' school. I mean, we were fine. I was fine. I had everything I wanted. So I could really start to be kind of a little more aggressive on the business side.
That's cool.
I could take more risks with the business because it wasn't like, if this doesn't work,
I have no money.
I'm out. I'm right living now. With my mom again.
I don't think people realize how challenging it is to run a business. Like, I think they see Shark Tank, which you're on and you've been on, and I think they see like people on Instagram or social media talk about their successful business, but I don't think they understand how stressful it can be to manage overhead, to manage your, you know, monthly payments, to manage people, to manage all the softwares you're paying for, all the logistics.
Entrepreneurship is not for the faint of heart. You don't go into entrepreneurship because you think, oh, I want to just have my own business and be my own boss. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Oh, honey, everyone will tell you what to do. Everyone's your boss. And you are going to be working so much harder than you've ever in your life. But if you're working for something that you're passionate about, you're excited about. I mean, for me, I would get up and still get up every morning and I cannot wait to be part of my business.
Cool.
I love designing. I love my customers so much. I love their stories. I love meeting them. I love my family at Kendra Scott that we've built. You know, I love it. And if you don't love it, you can't do it. And if you're just doing it for money, stop right now. Because that's not going to get you through and you will never become successful.
Because for 10 years, you weren't really thriving financially. I mean, the business was growing and you were making a good salary, but you weren't like, I've got all this money in the world now for
me. No, no.
I mean, after 10 years.
10 years, no. After 10 years, it was still so hard every day. so hard. But then, you know, you start to see, and like, again, the recession hit, things changed, my business was changing, and we were starting to see, and it was lightning in a bottle, girl.
That's cool.
It was $5 million to $25 million in sale, $25 million to $75 million the next year. I mean, we were growing at this unbelievable rate, but that 10 years of authentic dedication, love, standing by our core values, really just creating something and listening to our customer and being agile and pivoting when we needed to, not being so laser focused on it has to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
If the pandemic hasn't taught us that, I don't know what it is. I always say, you know, if you looked at my plan in 2020, I wish I had a piece of paper.
Before,
I ripped it in half.
Before,
I ripped it in half. You have to be able to be agile and shift, okay? With this upcoming recession that might be happening, we don't know. Be agile. Your plan that you have today may not be the plan that's going to look like it as you go down and traverse this next year or two or 3 years or whatever.
Be flexible.
It might be. Be flexible.
So where you're at now is completely different than the plan you had 2 years ago.
Totally.
What do you think was the factor that got you from the 25 to 75 million like that fast? What were the couple of shifts that you did that allowed for that growth?
Yeah, so within myself, you know, I felt like I had the confidence to, okay, my family's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
We're not going to be on the streets.
Sure, sure,
like, we're going to be okay. I could really start to like
think outside of the box.
Take some risks.
And I was seeing this magic happening in our store that we were walking into every day. And the lines. And
That's crazy.
My office sat right above that store. And I could just hear the roar.
That's got to be amazing.
Laughter and people having fun and the energy that the store was creating. And I knew that this was magic. And so we started opening stores.
So you just had one then. And then we started opening stores.
And each of those stores... We're creating this little ecosystem within that community. And we had a philanthropy outreach manager in every store. So we were building within the community all of our philanthropy projects. And it was we just saw it. And we were learning. Everyone, I was learning something and making the next one better. Never being complacent. Today, I'm never complacent.
Wow.
You know, people think, oh, you have a billion-dollar brand. You can now just take a break. Are you kidding? This is when I really have to work.
I know.
I can never be complacent. I wake up every day and I say, how am I going to surprise and delight my customer today?
Wow, that's beautiful.
How am I going to surprise and delight them?
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
You can't just go on yesterday's wins. You got to think differently every day. Today I'm going to do better than we did yesterday. I'm going to make a bigger impact for her today. Surprise and delight.
Because there's always boutique brands coming out too, right? There's all these, an influencer is launching a brand. Right. There's all these different people that are coming up with retail and all these cool different things.
So many
and if you stay the same, people are going to move on to some other brand. Oh, let me check this out.
Right.
And oh, this is really cool, and become more of a customer over here than with you, right?
Right.
So you have to constantly be innovating, it sounds like.
Innovating. And, you know, we've grown. I mean, we were a fashion jewelry brand. Now we have sterling silver, which is like demi-fine. And we have fine jewelry, diamonds, engagement rings, you know, 14 karat. We have all three, you know, categories of jewelry.
High-end.
We have a men's line.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're doing so many different things. I mean, we have customers that are layering their diamonds with our fashion brand that we bring out seasonally for spring or summer, you know. But we've grown with our customer. We have three generations of customers shopping in our store. We'll have the daughter, the mother, and the grandmother, and they all leave with a little yellow bag and a smile on their face. There's not a lot of brands that can be generational like that as well. And that little girl grows with us. Maybe then she goes to college and she's wearing us on game day. Then she's getting married and she's getting our engagement ring.
Mm.
Then she's on her honeymoon. Then she has kids and now she's getting teacher's gifts. And, you know, and so we see our customers over 20 years who, and we've built such a connection with her and him now that it's such a cool thing to see as a brand.
So how do you, I mean, with someone, I'm not in this industry, obviously, I don't understand, but with, let's say, a brand that only focuses on the high-end jewelry, the engagement rings and the more expensive jewelry, and that's all they obsess about. They don't have the other two lines,
right?
The generations of lines, I guess. How do you compete as a brand with a specialist brand that just does that?
Well, first of all, I always tell everybody, if you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're already failed. It's one of my favorite things to say. You got to be disruptive. So if you're doing high-end fine jewelry, you have to have your own unique fingerprint on it. You are what makes it great.
Mm-hmm.
Your personal brand, who you are, your aesthetic.
Right.
So be you. Don't try to be all the jewelry brands that are, you know, out there. You have to be you, and you have to be doing something different, unique, and bringing something to a customer that nobody else is offering her. So that's the most important thing. Whether that's through experience, whether that's through product, whatever it might be. It could be a combination. For us, it's a combination of all those things. Like the experience has to be amazing on wherever she's shopping.
Sure,
the product
sure.
has to be amazing.
I don't know the jewelry world, so I know I've heard Tiffany's, right?
Right,
so it's like, how do you, just an example, how would you compare yourself, or how do you say, okay, we're going to try to draw in some of the audience that would normally go for a brand like Tiffany's and have them have one of our engagement rings.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you think about that?
So I think about it from a customer perspective. I think about the shopping experience at Tiffany's. I love Tiffany's. I mean, hello, who doesn't? Okay.
Right.
But I think it's, you know, it's a very high end. It can be intimidating.
It's under the glass.
And you can go in there and you can
white
feel.
White glove.
Right.
Like people, yeah.
And, you know, in any store, and I'm not saying it's Tiffany's, but I've gone into stores as Kendra Scott in my workout clothes, my hair in a ponytail, sweaty after the gym.
Intimidated.
And they don't really even want to talk to me, right? Kendra Scott's a totally different vibe. You know, it's a more casual, more relaxed. We want your husband to come in and have fun. We're going to give him a beer. We're going to give you a glass of champagne. He can just try on some rings. Y'all can have fun. We're not, you know, it's a very relaxed experience, right?
I'm about to go check it out now.
And it's fun, right?
Yeah.
And you want to, like, it's a place you want to come hang out. And again, we're not here to... You want to just try on rings and have fun today?
Yeah.
Great. Because if you left with a smile on your face and you had a great time, we've succeeded at Kendra Scott because we made a connection.
Wow.
We made a connection.
That's
and you're
cool.
going to share that even if you never buy something.
Right.
You're going to share, we went into Kendra Scott store today. Oh my God.
It was cool.
They had a local beer.
Yeah.
I got, you know, my girlfriend, she got to try on a bunch of rings. We had so much fun. They gave us cupcakes and champagne. I mean, this is great.
Yeah,
we have cupcakes.
I'm going over there right now.
No. Hey, you can make any sale happen with cupcakes, okay? That's your lesson that you can take from this.
When did you start adding, I guess, beer, champagne, and food to the stores?
Right away.
Really?
From day one, I wanted it to feel like you were coming into my house.
That's
so
cool.
My house, you know, we'd have a big thing of lemonade, and I'd have cookies out on a tray or little sweet treats. It was always like you were coming into my house. Like if you came into my house, I'd be like, hey, can I get you something to drink?
Sure.
Do you want a little treat? Thanks for being here. So I wanted to create this environment of a warmth, of welcoming, of community. And it feel like, hey, we're glad you're here.
I'm curious what I'm curious if you would have had it for 2 years without the food and drinks, and then you would have brought it, and if it would have increased sales or how that conversion would have been.
You know, I couldn't have imagined it without it.
Right.
Now we have a store in Austin. Our flagship store is in this really cool old house. If you go down on South Congress, and we have a little cafe called Sips and Sweets.
Come on.
Because that's what we used to call it in our advertising is come in for Kendra Scott for Kendra Goes Back event, shop and have Sips and Sweets. So we named our little cafe Sips and Sweets.
So you have an actual cafe
A
now.
Little cafe. So it's
like
coffee
next
shop,
to the store.
Wine. We have frosé all day, which is... Yep, on tap.
So so it's an actual standalone coffee shop, cafe.
Inside our store, yes.
It's inside the store.
But you can get to it outside too. We have a little window. You could just go up and get your coffee.
That's cool.
We have a patio where we have live music some days. On game days, we have big TVs so the men
can sit
out there. We have local beers, wine, champagne.
That's pretty cool.
So fun. And then all of the pastries and cookies are from local female makers.
That's cool.
So they bring in all these amazing treats, and we're celebrating other entrepreneurs within the community. So it's really cool. So we're hoping to open more of those because that's been a huge hit in Austin.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. But that's the never be complacent. That's the surprise and delight. It was taking a small thing and growing it into something even more exciting and fun instead of just being like, well, this works. We'll just keep doing that. And I think that's where,
that's cool.
As an entrepreneur, you're the visionary, always trying to think of new, and some things aren't going to always work.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. But if you don't try, you won't know.
Absolutely. I'm curious about relationships. And I ask men this question a lot about, I really admire the men who have built an incredible business and who have a relationship also. Not just, oh, I'm this single guy and I've made millions, but... You know, a guy who's kind of stood the test of time in business and in relationships. Not saying they have to have the perfect one, and not saying they don't have to have failed ones and new relationships, but where do you think you'd be if you were, let's say, single for the last 20 years versus having relationships that had their ups and downs but also had connection in them? Where would you be if you were single versus being in relationships?
I think being in relationships has helped me be able to become the success I am today.
Really?
I am so thankful that I was a young mother. My boys drove me so much because I wanted to succeed for them. So they were such a driver of even not wanting to give up when there are times when I felt like it'd just be easier to throw in the towel. I'd look at their little faces and be like, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up because of them. Mm-hmm. And so having those relationships led me to all of those things that gave me the drive and, you know, and that just, oh, I want to make this work. Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this work. And I think for any successful person, to have a person that they can be their most vulnerable self with, where they don't have to be the rock star and the know every answer. And if you can have a person in your life that just allows you to be you, the messy, ugly, whatever, insecure at times, you know, person, and they love you for that and they're there for you. Every strong person needs a rock too. You know, we need a rock. We need somebody that we can tether to every once in a while because we're flying high.
Right.
But you need that person sometimes in your life that can tether you in a good way, not keeping you from doing things, but know that you're safe, that you've got a place to come home to, a chest to lie on, someone to cry to, and know that they're not going to judge you. So I think when you can find a person in your life that brings you that type of peace, and that's, I think, the key.
Is like the highest level of currency for me in my life right now. Because I had so much lack of peace for so many years in different relationships. I take responsibility for a lot of it. But like right now, to have peace is incredible.
And it's
the greatest
people,
feeling.
And you want to say, like, you want, oh, it's fireworks, and it's this, and it's that, it's all this, you know. Ah, and I now go in my life, and I go, I want to breathe easy,
relax,
and free. I want to, I think about coming home.
Being accepted.
And yes, and just knowing it's like a warm blanket.
Oh, man.
Like when you're in your comfiest sweats, and you're at home, and you've ordered in takeout, and you're with this person that just makes you, like, breathe. That's when you found the right person.
What would you do if you could go back and speak to 20-year-old Kendra? What would you say to her about love?
I would tell her it's going to be okay. And that on those days, we know you go through a breakup. It is. And, you know, I see my sons in relationships now. And like that young love. And oh, my God. And I just know. I like know how hard it is because I remember that. Oh, you just feel like you're going to die. I mean, you really do. I mean, you when you go through some breakups, it is not easy. But I think you're going to be okay. And that think about the things that you loved about this person. And think about the things that maybe didn't work so good. And then next time when you start dating somebody, you're going to see some of those things that you loved in the person that you had this relationship with. But you may not see some of those things that you didn't, or you'll identify the things that you didn't.
Sure.
And if we can start even with business and other failures, think about it with relationships the same way, this person may be the reason to get you to that next person. I know that seems horrible to think about because we want every love to be like the love.
Yes.
But there's a lesson in every relationship, even friendships that we have. The friends that make us feel so good when we're around them and bring out the best in us, and the friends that make us feel bad about ourselves or bring out the worst in us, you start to see those in people, right? And as you start to grow in your own life, and some people are lucky. I mean, one of my best friends, they met at 14. They're married. They have grandkids now.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they have kids and grandkids. They're madly in love with each other. And I look at them all the time and think, wow, that is a beautiful amazing thing. And not that they haven't gone through ups and downs over all these years together. But that's okay if your life doesn't turn out like that. Every person in our lives has come to our lives for a reason. And there's a lesson that we can learn from them, good and sometimes bad, that's going to get us to this next beautiful place to hopefully find peace and happiness.
I've got a couple of final questions for you. I'm curious about if you could go back and tell her to learn three specific skills. It could be personal skills, emotional skills, business skills. What skills do you wish you would have been able to learn faster at 20?
At 20, I would have told myself, Kendra, you are you. And you are a unique, amazing, beautiful human being that was put on this earth for a reason. And even though right now you don't think you're good enough, you are. You are good enough. And you are going to do great things. And I believe in you. I believe in you, and I see you. I see that light in you. And giving her that confidence that I think I lacked earlier, and knowing that I don't mm-hmm. have to be anybody but
right.
me.
Right. Self-confidence, that
skill. Self-confidence, yeah. that skill of just owning who you are. And I think today in a world of so many filters and, you know, social media mm-hmm. where we're projecting, I just want us all to feel like we can be vulnerable and be us and know that that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no one else like you.
Yeah.
You're the only you out there.
Yes.
How cool is that? So let's not try to be like anybody
sure,
else.
Sure.
Just be you. You know, I think the other thing I'd tell her is that, yeah, there's going to come times when you're going to want to give up. You're going to want to throw in the towel. You're going to want to say, this is too hard. And that's the time when you've got to pick yourself up the bathroom floor and say, now it's our time to really go.
Right.
And you're going to hear a lot of no's. You're going to have lots of doors shoved in your face. But I want you to look at that no as what it says in a mirror. It says on. And that means you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that no is going to lead you to ask more questions about why they said no. What do you need that I'm not showing you? And it's actually the conversation is just getting started when you get that no sometimes.
Right.
So don't be afraid of no's. Embrace them and mm-hmm. get excited when you hear them.
Yes. Okay. And the third? Third skill? Was that the third?
I felt like it was three, but I can give you another one.
One more skill.
Sure, one more skill. I think, you know, the last skill I would tell myself is failure is a gift. And you hear it all the time. But we are so afraid of it that it sometimes immobilizes
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
And I think my company would have grown quicker than it had even. Not that it needed to. It all worked out okay. But I was so afraid of failure that I was too cautious at times. I was so afraid to fail that I wasn't moving forward. And I was stuck in the mm-hmm. mud and just sitting there. And that failure is a gift. And that when it happens to us, if we can go, ooh, okay, that stung a little. But if I hadn't done this, wouldn't have gotten these three
sure.
great, amazing nuggets that now I'm going to use because, wow, that led me to this next cool thing I'm doing. So knowing that then and not being so afraid of it, that it was such a scary, awful thing, mm-hmm. and realizing that it actually could be the greatest thing that could ever have happened to me.
Mm. You're inspiring, Kendra.
So are you.
I've got a couple final questions for you, but I want people to get your book.
Yes.
Born to Shine, Do Good, Find Your Joy, and Build a Life You Love. Make sure you guys get a few copies of this, give it to your friends, spread the message out. Very inspiring message, story, life, and lessons in here as well. So make sure you guys get Born to Shine. I asked you about the three skills you would tell yourself when you're 20, but this is a question I ask everyone towards the end called the three truths. So it's a hypothetical question. Imagine you live as long as you want to live, but it's your last day, mm-hmm. eventually, far in the future. And you get to accomplish everything you want, personally, professionally, impact-wise, service-wise. It all happens, mm-hmm. which I believe it will for you. And for whatever reason, everything you've ever created has to go to the next place with you. So we don't have access to your book or this interview or anything you've ever done for whatever reason is gone from this earth.
Okay.
But you get to leave behind three lessons to the world, three things you know to be true. And this is all we have to remember you by. What would be those three truths that you would share to the world?
I would say, first and foremost, try to live your life with an optimistic lens.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easy to have a lot of self-doubt. But when we can look at things from an optimistic mindset, where you see possibility, even in the impossible, that's when amazing things can happen.
Yeah.
So having an optimistic mindset really can change anyone's life. And it doesn't mean that you just see things like butterflies and rainbows all the time, but you're looking for possibility in something. I would say the second is be kind.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a aggressive, mean, you know, to be like taken seriously and strong leader, entrepreneur. Be a kind, loving, compassionate
mm-hmm.
human. Try to be empathetic and put yourself in someone else's shoes and give them the benefit of the doubt before you just jump to, why did you do that? Maybe they did that because something else is going on, right?
Right.
So I think having a kind heart And thinking of your day, each day of spreading joy, for me is how I would love that lesson is I don't just wake up and think, well, what could I do today to, you know, grow my business? Or I think about when I'm walking in the coffee shop, how can I make that person feel good today? How can I make them smile? How can I compliment them on something so that they know that they're seen? Because one small moment of joy that you impact is, it will spread like wildfire.
So true.
So live a life that doesn't just with kindness, but live a life that you want to spread joy.
Okay, cool. I love this. I want to acknowledge you for a moment, Kendra, for your joy. I mean, when the first moment I met you, you brought the joy and the positivity, and I could feel it right away. And I know why you've become so successful in your business. And I think it's because you want to see others shine.
Yes.
You know, you want to see your customers shine. You want to see every person that comes in the store be treated like their home.
Yes.
Thank you for the gifts. I appreciate the gifts you got me. You made me feel like I'm home.
No, and you look so cool.
You know,
so
now I can be like the trendy, cool, you know, guy over here. But I really acknowledge you for it because I think it's really hard for people to be successful in business for almost two decades.
Yeah.
And for you to go through the different challenges you had personally in relationships, a divorce can break someone in a business and you were able to get through that and shine even more. A recession can break someone. You know, there's so many different things. Health challenges and family can break someone. And for it to be something that builds you and not breaks you and just makes you stronger and opens your heart even more to being giving and joyful and loving, I think is really beautiful. So
thank you.
I acknowledge you for the gift that you are, Kendra.
Thank you so much.
For writing this book and starting to open up even more and give back even more with your voice now to the world. Is there anything else we can do to serve you before our final question?
No, I mean, first of all, thank you for saying that. But, I appreciate it, and I do agree. All I want from this book, from everything, is that everyone is born to shine.
Mm-hmm.
So on this book, it says, Kendra Scott, born to shine. I'm not talking about myself. I really am talking about all of us have this unbelievable light and an ability to do something great, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to build a big business.
Right.
But whatever is going to bring you joy and happiness and make an impact in a positive way, we all have that light inside of us. So, I'm hopeful that my story, along with so many other inspiring folks that you've interviewed and so many people around the world, being vulnerable and sharing that and allowing us to help find that within one another is really something that I hope we can do.
That's beautiful. They can get the book anywhere online, kendrascott.com. They can learn more about the jewelry.
Anywhere where books are sold. Amazon, you can get it anywhere.
Kendra Scott on social media, that's with two T's. okay, Kendra, this is the final question. What's your definition of greatness?
My definition of greatness is pretty easy for me. It is, it's yellow, first of all. When I think of greatness, I think of bright. You know my color is yellow, but it's sunshine, it's light. It's shining a light in the dark places.
Mm.
It's bringing joy to those who need it on a bad day. That, for me, is greatness, is when you can shine a light where there needs to be a light shone
on.
Yeah. Shone on. I think that for me, is greatness.
Mm. Kendra, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks
you.
For having me.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's show with all the important links. And also make sure to share this with a friend and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts as well. I really love hearing feedback from you guys, so share a review over on Apple and let me know what part of this episode resonated with you the most. And if no one's told you lately, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
Are you ready to shop? Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Get 15% cash back at hundreds of stores, including headliners, Adidas, Elf Cosmetics, and Lego. Rakuten is how in-the-know shoppers get the best savings. They shop the brands they love and earn cash back on top of deals. During Big Give Week, May 6th to May 13th, the cashback rates are even bigger. You can save on everything you need for summer, like clothing, outdoor gear, and travel. Join today for free and get an extra 10% cashback boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of Big Give Week's 15% cash back. You won't see higher cashback rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app. Rakuten. Shoppers get it.